Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the GEICO Update Center.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And it is the Biff with another QAM Sports Update. We will start off in basketball as the Miami Heat, who are riding a 5-game winning streak, face off against the Toronto Raptors, the best team in the NBA, tonight at 7:30. Coverage can be heard on our sister station, 790 The Ticket. Over to college football, as Malik Rozier will be named the starter for the Canes tomorrow as they take on Wisconsin in the Pinstripe Bowl. Coverage can be heard for that game on WQAM tomorrow. Over to the NFL as we start off with a report from Armando Salguero, which came out today, as the Dolphins are expected to fire Executive Vice President Mike Tannenbaum and keep Adam Gase as head coach. They head to Buffalo for a game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, which could be heard on WQAM. And finally, the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl between Boston College and Boise State was canceled due to weather. Ironic. Now on to weather, sponsored by Hylian Park. It is currently 75 degrees outside with cloudy skies throughout the day. Play live Texas Hold'em Poker, plus play your favorite table games like Heads Up Hold'em Poker and One Card Poker at Florida City's newest poker room, Kings Court Key. Visit kingscourtkey.com for more info. I'm Matt the Biff Wilson, and Solana and Rashad Butler coming up next.
Being on some chill, we go 0 to 100 real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bills, and I don't feel it, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth.
Wouldn't have been a sports update without Biff giving us the latest breaking news in the college football world, which is Boston College and Boise State's, what was it, the Surf Pro?
Surf Pro First Responders Bowl.
First Responders Bowl has been canceled due to a lightning delay.
All these bowls now, man, it's ridiculous.
Crazy. A week ago, I work on the Dono and Fear Show. By the way, Rashad Butler, Solana here filling in for Hawk and Crowder. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock today. I work on the Dono and Frito show as the executive producer, and Frito printed out a list of all the bowl games and wrote down a couple made-up bowls, and we had to go through the list. He was reading them and find out which ones were real, which ones were fake. Like, you wouldn't even...
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah, yeah.
I would fail that.
Yeah, there used to be a bowl called the Salad Bowl. Like, I mean... That's why people were saying, you know, the Pinstripe Bowl is meaningless. I can't argue with you. Like, yeah, it's meaningless, but everybody likes to win a bowl game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even if you're Boston College, they're 7-5. 7-5 in the ACC is no good. They're not even ranked. They're playing against Boise State, who plays nobody all year. You'd like to end the season 8-5 with a winning a bowl game.
Listen, this is going to sound bad, but I'm going to say, you know what those bowls remind me of? It's like when you're growing up as a kid and you're playing a sport and you finish like dead last, you still get like a trophy.
A participation trophy? Yeah. And that's what everybody rips millennials for. Like, millennials are so used to participation trophies.
I agree. Listen, I rip them to death because best believe, you know, I have a son. If my son ever accepts a participation trophy and he's happy about that, I'm snatching that thing out of his hand so quick and I'm running over it.
See, I was a millennial getting participation trophies and posting it on MySpace. Like, yeah, hey, look, I participated.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I would never post them. I'd take them, but, you know, it's like kind of like,
I keep mine. I have a shrine of participation trophies.
Listen, I'm not subjecting my kid to that nonsense. That is nonsense.
All right, but what if I don't mean your kid. I mean in general. What if your kid is just not good? He's not a good athlete, but he still likes to play. He wants to get out there. He wants to have a good time. That was me. I was never a good athlete. I was a fat, short, white kid. Like, I just wasn't a good athlete. I still like to go out there, give it my best.
I hear you. But, I mean.
You want to rip me so bad right now. Listen, that's what you want to do. Just do it. It's
not,
fine.
You don't have to accept the trophy. You know, you can still play, just not accept the trophy.
I'll tell you a funny story. I played recreational football in a league 10 through 12 when I was 12 years old. And we went 9-1. I played for the Steelers, the little Steelers. And the same team we lost to, which was the Giants. They beat us, I think, 20-6 in the regular season. We played them in the Super Bowl. And he beat us again. And I remember, like, they were handing us, like, our second place trophies and medals. And to this day, you know, if you ask my dad, he'll laugh about it, but he got mad. I actually threw mine on the ground, just walked off.
Oh, man.
Like, man, wow. Man, I don't want to finish second place.
Well, I mean, that's probably why you're a professional athlete. And I was totally okay with, you know, just the pinnacle of my life being on radio. Like, that's it. Yeah, I'm on radio. Yeah.
Hey, man, listen, this is big time, man. You got people listening to you. You got girls listening to you. You got a girlfriend?
I do. I wanted to get into that later, by the way, because earlier today, well, I was asking Troy Stratford. Frito and Troy were on earlier. Troy was filling in for Dono. I was asking him for advice because it's been a recurring theme here at the station the past couple days that my girlfriend and I have, we've had some issues here. So I don't know. I don't know if Rashad, you can help me out, where I told her, you know, maybe I'll propose to you, but it's going to have to wait a while. A couple of years, like 6-7 years, maybe 10 years, I told her. And she,
listen,
she was like, I was joking. I was joking about the 10-year stuff, but she did not take kindly to the joke. She, it was, that's it. Like, there was no more laughing.
Yeah, you
she
can't
told
joke
me.
Around. You can't joke around. You can't joke around with women when it comes to that, because I'm pretty sure you guys have been together for how long now?
It's actually not, it hasn't been that long. Like, that's why she's, we're talking about marriage. Like, whoa, let's slow down here. I'm not ready to talk about marriage. And she was like, I'm not waiting more than, you know, a year or two, maybe.
And I
start getting sweaty. I'm like, I'm queasy. My face is red. So her and I just,
let me ask you this question. Was this a conversation that you knew, I guess, going into, I guess, getting serious with it? Because I always tell people there's certain questions you have to ask when everything's in the beginning stages, because, you know, I feel like you can kind of figure a lot out about that person and how that relationship is going to go if you choose to get involved with that person. So I take it you didn't ask like that question as far as like, you know, marriage and I guess her views on that and how long and
not
so
really
forth.
So here's how the conversation really started. I told her before I ever proposed to a girl, before I was engaged to a girl, I want to move in with them.
Smart I want to live with I agree. Them. Smart man.
I
want to
live
man.
With them. Yeah. And to me, that's a commitment in itself. The way I presented the argument to my girlfriend. And I told her, just because I don't want to propose to you next year doesn't mean I don't have plans for you in my future. It just means thinking about marriage gets me nervous. My palms get sweaty. Like, I don't want to think about that right now. Why can't we just live together for a couple of years and then we'll know if we're compatible, if this is going to work out in the long run. She is not having it at all, man. Like, she wants to get engaged. And I'm not saying she's putting the pressure on me now, but she is putting the pressure on me in the future. And here's who's at fault. It's all my boys who are 25, 24, 26, Eric Falero, who's actually the producer of this show, who are getting engaged, getting married. Like, what? Stop putting the pressure because my girlfriend goes to work. She sees all her friends with the ring. Every girl that gets engaged now, every picture, their left hand is up in every freaking photo. The pressure's on me now, man. And I think I'm gonna crack. I don't think I can handle it. What was that? I missed it. What was that, Matt?
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna make you laugh off subject. I'm sitting here looking at you, and one thing about me, with all my friends, I try to give them a lookalike, like a celebrity lookalike or someone that, you know, is famous.
Let's hear it.
Listen, I'm going to make you laugh, Biff. Does he not look like Sean McVay?
Oh!
Like, listen, him and Sean McVay got similarities, man.
Okay.
I don't want to give him credit. I see it.
Sean McVay,
good-looking guy. Okay. I see the Sean. Like, it's funny because I was sitting here just looking. I'm like, he looks like Sean McVay a little bit.
Somebody's saying, bro, you have to know how to deflect the question and not be a douche about it. I was trying to be honest. I tried to be cool about it with her and say, look, like, truthfully, I was making a joke. Let's move in together in the future. Not yet, in the future. And we'll figure it out. If we're meant to be, we're meant to be. And she took that as me saying, you know, I'm just not taking our relationship seriously, and I just want to be single and have a good time. Yeah. And that's not true at all. I care about her, whatever. But
see, me, I'm the king of curveballs. My curveball game is nasty, man.
I might need to take some
you
notes
got that
from you.
12 to
just
6
in
there, you know.
Man,
where it
you know, my curveball is like it's like my curveball is like John Smoltz back in the days.
see, I'm the opposite. I'm like Mariano. I throw two pitches. That's it.
Okay.
I have two pitches and then I'm out.
Are you really that good of a closer though?
Like, no,
I'm about to say.
Very true.
Just saying.
Yeah. That's not a good comparison at all. I'm the opposite of Mariano. But so what Troy was giving me was some tips. He has like this equation. You get her a promise ring, it buys you a year. It buys you a year of time. Then you propose, it buys you two more years. Then you tell her you have, you know, some a new chapter in your life in terms of work. It buys you another year. So he's adding years for me to try to get me to as many years as I can get to. It's not a bad idea, but I can't do a promise ring because I ripped on all of my boys for getting their girls' promise rings at such a young age. I just think it's the corniest thing. And if you've done that in your past, I'm sorry. Like I just think it's really lame. What is it with the promise ring?
I hear you.
What's promise ring?
Listen, I'm still laughing at that advice Troy gave you because, listen, I'm not going to say that's good advice or bad advice, but I mean, that's actually reality right there. Like, that's why I'm laughing. Like, that's actually not a bad formula.
It's not, man. Like, for a guy like me who just the thought of marriage gets me really sweaty and uncomfortable, man, like, Troy was making a lot of sense. He probably wasn't making any sense. To my girlfriend, like she heard that, if she hears this segment, I'm probably single anyways. So so maybe I will take some more of those curveball tips from you anyways.
Oh man,
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line. Since we're kind of off topic here, anyways, let's continue with that. The other day I was at the Heat game, Heat Bucks. I told the owner to talk to you about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Heat Bucks. It's a close game. Of course, the Heat, by the way, are playing the Raptors tonight. They're going to look for their sixth win, hottest team in the NBA. Longest current win streak in the NBA. The Bucks is one of those wins. It's a close game at the end. It's crunch time. The Bucks have a chance to either tie or win the game down two. Everybody's up. Uh-huh. Everybody's standing up, cheering on. They have a Seven Nation Army playing. Everybody's,
yeah.
Which is cursed, by the way, but we'll get into that later. Uh-huh. The lady behind me taps me on my shoulder. Excuse me, young man. I can't see the court.
The nerve of her.
I mean,
the nerve of you. It's a old lady. You gotta respect her. She has been through this world. She has helped out other people. You gotta be for her.
That's true. I'm getting into. But you know, I always tell people, understand your surroundings. If everybody around you is standing up and you're the only person sitting down, and you see the whole row of people in front of you standing up, I think it's kind of selfish to ask one person, you know, in that row that's blocking your view, can you please sit down? Like, no, I'm standing up. Everyone's standing up.
For sure. Everybody's standing up. Yeah. But here's my predicament. When I turn around and see this nice little shriveled up old lady, how could I tell this old lady, like, hey, I'm going to stand up? Like, no. So I had to pull one of those where, like, you sit on the chair when it's folded, kind of. But I'm standing up because I can't see because the guy in front of me, of course, is like 7'5". I mean... Like, what do you do in that situation? 560-22 on the West Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
But hold on. If the guy in front of you is blocking your view, then how is she still seeing? I'm a little confused now.
It's makes no sense to me, too, because everybody in the stadium is standing up. Everybody. Yeah.
She shot out. She is.
You think so?
She is, because you have to understand your surroundings. Like, listen, if I was in a cask, if my leg was broke or my ankle was broke and I'm sitting down and everyone's standing up, I'm sorry. I'm going to grab those two crutches and I'm just going to stand up because I want to. I mean, if I really want to see the game that bad, I'm going to see the game. I'm not going to ask the gentleman or the woman in front of me, can they please sit down just for me because everyone else is standing up around me? Like, I'm going to stand up. I really am.
I want to watch the game.
Yeah.
And for me to watch and have the best angle. So my response to her, here's what I went with, Biff. I said, I'm sorry, everybody standing up. And she said, yes, but I can't.
Oh, you are a jerk.
I know. I felt terrible. I felt terrible. I don't think she was handicapped, but I think she's just tired. It's been a long day. It's a late game. She's definitely up there in age. I mean,
man, that's tough, man. That's a bad predicament to put anybody in, because then, you know, I'm a type of person, I like to ask a lot of questions. So what were you doing throughout the entire game? Because I'm pretty sure
I was sitting.
Well, but again, I'm pretty sure that someone in front of you probably wasn't sitting the entire game. Like, I'm pretty sure she had instances that she couldn't see, you know, the game throughout the entirety of the game.
Maybe,
she had to.
Maybe, but I don't blame her at the end. Crunch time, she wants to watch the game. I don't blame her for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like, I go to so many Heat games. I'm lucky enough to have season tickets for over close to a decade or over a decade now. I lose count. So I'm not the fan that, you know, in the second quarter, a big dunk, I'm going to get up and go crazy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm so used to Heat games already. Yeah. Half the time I'm just watching the game and I don't want to be bothered. That's why, like, when I'm trying to watch the ending, the most important part of the game, I was ready to I was hoping was a young person so I could turn around and be like, hey, bleep you, okay? Like,
yeah,
stand the bleep up and let's watch the game together.
Yeah.
You can't do that to a little old lady.
No, you can't. You can't. But again, I mean, I hate that there's a but because she's a little old lady. But man, I mean, if everyone else is standing up around you, like, that's asking a lot of one person, one single person that's in front of you to say, I understand everyone's around you is standing up, but can you sit down? Like, honestly, to me, I think that's asking too much.
It is.
Because honestly, if I was in a situation like that, I would just suck it up and be like, you know what? I'm just not going to see the game.
Because
I'm not going to ask one person when everybody else is standing up just to sit down for me. Like, that's kind of selfish. I'm not a selfish person like that.
There's a Jumbotron. Have fun. Have fun watching the Jumbotron while you're at the game. Join the 411 Pain WQAM Street Team Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Bird Bowl. Wow, Bird Bowl. If you grew up in Kendall or in Southwest Miami-Dade, you went to Bird Bowl a lot. Bird Bowl in Miami. Watch the game, enjoy the Modelo specials, and register for your chance to win a cooler and a 40-inch TV. More details at WQAM.com. Bowling alleys are different now, right? Like now bowling alleys or going bowling is what adults do. It's an excuse to get away from the family and go get drunk and bowl.
I just think, like, I feel like every, how can I say this? I feel like every team I've been on, that's been like the common theme for like a team event. It's always bowling.
Like, relationship building.
And I feel some type of way about that. I'm like, yo, like, there's other things to do than bowl. But I just feel like every team I played on, starting from, you know, high school to college to even the pros, we always went bowling. Like, that was like our team event.
Yeah. I feel like it's also like, if you're not good at bowling, who cares? It's bowling.
Yeah.
But it's also a good way to kind of just rip on each other.
Because
like, if you're, it's also the reverse. If you're really good at bowling, well, wait, why are you really good at bowling?
Correct.
Like, what point in your life were you bowling consistently when you're an NFL athlete? Like, you probably shouldn't be.
Like Chris Paul. Chris Paul is like a great bowler. Like, Chris Paul is basketball. Listen,
But Chris Paul has also banked on that too, doing like the celebrity like
that's true.
PBA
that's true.
Bowling
that's
games
true.
And
that's
stuff
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How do I not know this?
Yeah.
Do you not watch ESPN Sunday at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, he's nice. He's
no,
nice, man.
I don't.
He is like Chris. Listen, Chris Paul is nice, man. He really is.
Damn, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Wow, you didn't?
He's really good. Mookie Betts for the Red Sox is amazing.
Yeah.
What'd you call him?
Mookie Betts.
Isn't it Mookie Betts?
No, it's Mookie.
No, it's Mookie
Betts. It's Mookie Betts?
Yeah, it's
Mookie Betts.
I mean, I'm learning a lot of stuff right now.
Who would call their kid Mookie Betts?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Mookie, man.
You make it sound like Mookie's much better. It's not that much better.
Well,
it's better than Mookie.
It is.
Mookie sounds like you hate your kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is a little better. Yeah,
I agree.
Rashad Butler, Solana, Matt Wilson here in for Hawkman, Crowder, and Falero. Eric Falero was in Tennessee. He texted me, how's the show going? I responded to him, I think it's going pretty well. He didn't write back. He's just like, okay.
No, he never does.
Okay, mind you, I hate people like that. I do, because I feel like if you're going to text me and I text right back, please text me right back.
Right.
Now, it's one thing if you text me like at, let's say, like 10:30 and I respond back at like 11 o'clock and then, you know, you don't
you're
respond
sleeping.
Back. Yeah, yeah, right. I get it. But if you text me and I text you right back, please text me right back. Like that's one of my biggest pet peeves. It really is.
Why is he texting me? Asking me a question. I answer quickly, by the way. Very
correct.
Quickly. It was in the break. He doesn't answer me back. Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
560-22, if you want to text us, we'll text you back on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota
Maybe.
Text line. Maybe.
Maybe. You can't. Don't give that guarantee.
Let's read some of these really quickly. Oh, I have to read this.
Okay.
Don Carter's 137th Avenue and Kendall Drive. I'm from Kendall. That's right up the street from my house. If you send in a Kendall reference, okay, while Solana's on, I'm going to read it because I put on for my hometown. Don Carter's doesn't exist anymore. It was a bowling alley.
Yeah, I know.
Man,
Don Carter's.
OG bowling alley. Rest in peace to Don Carter's. we were talking about my relationship issues.
Uh-huh.
My girlfriend won't wait longer than a year to propose or for me to propose. I said, I'm not getting her a promise ring. Somebody wrote in, promise rings are for when you're a teenager and can't afford a real ring. That's right. Like, I'm not going to be 25 years old getting my girlfriend a promise ring. Like, I just look like a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for the person who can't afford like a Tiffany bracelet or something like that.
Promise rings are whack. LOL, that's high schoolish. Bro, you know you have to know how to deflect the question and not be a douche about it. I think I was pretty honest. I was being kind of nice. Let's see. Somebody else said, then I talked about the old lady at the Heat game tapping my shoulder, telling me to sit down and crunch time, most important play of the game. Somebody said, so you can be nice to a strange old lady, but a douche to your girl, which is kind of true. Some people are being mad are mad at the old lady. They're saying the old lady should have stayed at home.
Nah, see, but they don't have the real one. The real texter, the 954 texter, who said you should have put her on your shoulders. That's the real. That's what
that,
you should have
really
that
done. Would be
that
funny.
That would have been the gentleman thing to do.
Yeah, that would be funny. Just that lift up an old lady, put her on my shoulders for the ending of the Miami Heat game.
I think you can make Fox Sports Sun with that.
Maybe. Probably. I don't know if I'm strong enough, though, to hold her on my shoulders. I don't know if I'm strong enough to hold anybody on my shoulders, to be quite honest. 560-22, again, if you want to join us. Rashad, we've covered a lot today. Uh-huh. Of course, the big news in the morning, or probably even earlier in the morning, it was like 5 in the morning, Mike Tannenbaum, Vice President of Football Operations for the Miami Dolphins, according to the Miami Herald, Armando Salguero reporting, he's probably not going to be back, with the Dolphins organization. However, at the moment, barring some unexpected circumstances, head coach Adam Gase and Chris Greer, the general manager, for right now, it seems their jobs are safe.
Yeah.
We spoke about it earlier, but, of course, we talked to Antoine Staley as well.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like now, when I thought people were okay with that, retaining Adam Gase, retaining Chris Greer, most of the messages are start all over. And that's what we spoke about on Monday, maybe a little earlier today as well. We do think if you're going to get rid of one of them, probably should get rid of all of them.
Yeah, because I think people's biggest fear is Ryan Tannehill coming back, being almost like a package deal with Adam Gase. Now, I think if Adam Gase doesn't bring Tannehill back, then I think people might have a little bit more optimism, because I know I would have a little bit more optimism. But excuse me, if Ryan Tannehill is going to come back, he's probably going to have to restructure his deal. And I think, that's going to make fans pretty much feel the same way that they felt not only this past year, but, these past, 7 years that we've had Ryan Tannehill. So if Adam Gase comes back, I really hope that Stephen Ross sits down with Adam Gase and say, listen, I'm bringing you back, but I'm not bringing you back because I want Tannehill back. I want a new fresh face in here at quarterback.
Right, and that has to be the cut. Like,
it has to.
I was telling you the funny image in my mind of Adam Gase preparing like a PowerPoint or some sort of slide and going into Stephen Ross's office and saying, hey, Steve, there's a way we can get Tannehill back here. And Stephen Ross just going back into that pose that he was in on Sunday and just looking at Adam Gase saying, get the bleep out of my office. I think something else that more Dolphin fans are concerned about as well is this repetitive cycle of you fire the VP now, right? The general manager. And when you're looking for somebody else, this football czar that everybody wants the Dolphins to go after, a football czar, somebody who is going to get the correct or the right pieces in place to make this franchise succeed, you're limiting your options when you're telling that person, this football czar, this person who's supposed to run your organization now, when you fire Mike Tannenbaum, hey, you are the man in charge here. However, you have to retain Adam Gase and Chris Greer for at least one more year. You're limiting your options, because why would somebody come to the Miami Dolphins organization when they know they have to have a head coach and a general manager that they didn't choose, and who knows if they even want them moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think my question is, what is the specific job of, VP of football operations? Is he more like overseeing the choice? I'm guessing that he's more like overseeing the choices that the GM is making. He's working like, on a day-to-day basis with the GM, because, let's be honest, the head coach has somewhat of a say in the players that, he wants, but usually when it comes down to it, it's up to the GM and, whoever is, president, vice president of football operations. So I think it's very important that whoever they do bring in, that person and Chris Greer can have a great relationship, because to me, that's who they'll be working with more than anything. I mean, I understand Adam Gase will be in their office and they'll probably call Adam Gase in to get, his you know, I guess his review on certain players that they may think about bringing in, whether it's the draft or free agency. But, you know, I think it's going to be more important that whoever they bring in, that person has a great understanding of Chris Greer and his strategy. And because, again, those two are going to be working side by side.
For sure. And that's probably going to be, you know, something that is known when the Dolphins begin this search of a person who's going to be in charge of player personnel, who's going to be in charge of essentially, you know, the reconstruction. Maybe reconstruction is a bit too much of a harsh term.
No,
I would say
it's not.
I would say the continuation of a rebuild, right? Well, like the Dolphins aren't in a rebuild, but I mean,
well, I say this: I think defensively they're in a reconstruction because I think, you know, you have to look at that defensive line. You know, you have a lot of players that are aging. Cameron Wake. You have a lot of players with a high salary this year that really didn't produce. You look at Andre Branch, who I think, you know, is a good pass rusher at times, but, you know, when you're getting paid, you know, $10 million, you know, that screams double-digit sacks, and he hasn't produced that. The same with Robert Quinn, who was making, I think, $11 million this year, and he only has 6.5 sacks.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you go to the secondary, you know, I mean, you got Minka, but, you know, have a player in Rashad Jones who has a high cap number next year that's pretty much almost fully guaranteed. I think he's set to make, I think base salary, I think $13 million, and I think 11 of that is guaranteed on top of his, you know, prorated bonus money that he's going to receive, I think, which is about $4 million or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the reconstruction is going to take place defensively. Now, offensively, you just hope to get, you know, guys back that are fully healthy, like Albert Wilson, Josh Sitton, you know, who's on a 2-year deal, Daniel Kilgore, and guys like that.
I didn't want to use the term rebuild, reconstruction, but
yeah.
I mean, with all the examples you just gave, and the most obvious one, you're going to be looking for a brand new quarterback.
Yeah.
You do have some good players and some playmakers, especially on the offensive side. But look, when you're looking for a new quarterback,
yeah,
you're in a rebuild mode in the NFL. Because look at all the teams who are either a lock for the playoffs already or are fighting for a playoff position. We can go through the list. All of them have elite quarterbacks.
True.
Maybe one or two don't, but all of them do. Just the first ones that come to mind. The Chiefs, if you look at the AFC, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Chargers, those four teams already, they all have elite quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean,
or quarterbacks that they're trusting their future of the franchises with.
And you can make an argument for Deshaun Watson.
Right, of course.
You know?
I mean, those are just the ones that came to my head. But of course, Deshaun Watson, there's no doubt he's going to be, he is the future of the Texans organization.
Yeah.
And it's the same case for the NFC. I didn't want to use rebuild or reconstruction of the offense, but when the most important position on a football team is in question or in doubt, you're in a rebuild.
Yeah,
like, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And to me, I just think that if you're going to attack that position, which they are, I believe so, I think you have to attack it as far as for the right now in free agency. Now, I think for the future, of course, I think they need to go out and draft a quarterback, you know, second round. Now, I don't, like, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see any quarterbacks that are popping out in the first round that, you know, I'm confident in taking the chance on, you know, in drafting that high. But I definitely do think, you know, they need to draft a quarterback either second or third round.
The only one was Justin Herbert from Oregon, which you alluded to on Monday, and we learned today. He's returning for his senior season in Oregon, so it's not even going to be him. But definitely, this is not the quarter. This QB draft is not what it was last year, and it's probably going to be better next year.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be one of those weird seasons for the Dolphins. You talked about maybe bringing in a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody who can keep you at a level where you're not 1-15 or 0-16.
Correct.
But they're probably also not going to be the guys that you don't want to pay them too much money because, again, you don't want to do what you did in the past, which is handicap yourself with the NFL cap situation. Rashad Butler, Solana here, filling in for Hawk and Crowder. We'll be right back on QAM.
Radio.com.
WQAM invites you to join our sister station, Kiss Country, at the 34th annual Chili Cook-Off powered by Ford, coming January 26th to CB Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. Headliners include Brooks and Dunn, Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, and many more. Get your tickets now at WKIS.com. So we were talking in the break Rashad Butler and Solana filling in for Hawk and Crowder, by the way, take you up until 6. We were talking in the break about the Warriors, about LeBron, KD's future, and you said you would like to see Kevin Durant go to the Knicks.
I would.
With Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
And it would be fun to see the Knicks do well. You might get some heat on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022 because Heat fans hate the Knicks, myself included. But I think you're right. Like when the best organizations, or I guess the Knicks aren't the best because they've been irrelevant for so long, but when, you know, big market teams are good and they have, you know, rich history, it's good for the sport.
It is. And it's coming because, you know, Kyrie is from there. And I know Kyrie has referenced, you know, more than a few times that, you know, he would love to go back and play in New York. And I'm pretty sure he wasn't referring to the Brooklyn Nets when he said that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would love to see, you know, Kyrie, you know, pair with Porzingis and, you know, David Fizdale. And I would love to see someone like a Kevin Durant, you know, come over there and join him.
It's funny because, like, Heat fans have this disgust for the Knicks.
They do.
But ever since Coach Fizz went over there, low-key, Heat fans and Heat Twitter kind of want to see the Knicks do well.
Yes, like they're
a young group, but don't do too well. Just do well enough to where we can applaud Fizdale, you know, turning that franchise around.
Yeah.
But don't do too well where you're overshadowing the Miami Heat. Here's my thing with Durant.
Okay.
People want to know, you know, first of all, we know the turmoil between him and Draymond.
Yeah.
Draymond is kind of like the glue guy in Golden State. They love Draymond in Golden State. He's the player where if you're playing against him, you hate him.
Yeah.
You hate his guts, but when he's on your team, he's your favorite player, right? Mm-hmm. He's the heart and soul of the team. If KD does decide, hey, I don't want to play here anymore, I don't blame him. And here's why. When he left to Golden State, he did it because he wanted to win a ring. He was tired of being criticized as the guy who couldn't win. He couldn't get over the hump. He couldn't beat the Warriors. He couldn't beat LeBron. He goes over there, and he thought in his mind, it's going to go the same way it went for LeBron when LeBron came to Miami. Remember, when LeBron came to Miami, he was highly criticized by everybody. He quickly became the villain, the most hated player in the NBA, perhaps in all of sports.
Yeah.
Winning cured that. Winning cured LeBron James being hated in Miami.
Yeah.
He thought, Kevin Durant, that is, thought it was going to go the same way. It would blow over the same way. It blowed over for LeBron. He'd win a couple titles. He'd be the MVP. And everybody would love him again. And it hasn't gone that way.
But
people don't respect him. They don't respect his title. In fact, he's become more hated with all the Twitter stuff, fake accounts.
And I was going to reference that. I think that's why, because I think, you know, once he started, I guess, taking some of the abuse, you know, very, I guess, personally, you know, and making these burner accounts and trolling fans. I think that's when a lot of fans like, come on, bro, like you're an athlete, like you're really like taking these, you know, these tweets and what we're saying about you like cold-heartedly, like you could be, because he really was. And see, that's one thing I think why people just kind of backed off LeBron, because LeBron kind of took it like on the chin, like a man, like, you know what, I see it, but I'm not really going to give you all the time of day. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep being LeBron James, keep winning championships, and eventually it's going to blow over. And it did. And I think the only reason it hasn't blown over with KD, because KD, you know, he's put so much of an effort into, you know, trying to defend himself. And like, listen, KD, you got two rings, man. Like, what, like, you don't need to defend yourself no more.
Well, here's the weird thing about Durant, though. Like, LeBron, even when he won in Miami, he's playing for something greater. He's playing to become, he's playing to surpass Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Whether
bro.
You know, some of you out there think he ever will because he's lost too many finals is another question, but that's what LeBron's playing for.
Yeah.
At this point, he's just stacking rings. Durant, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think anybody will ever put Durant in that same category with LeBron.
Well,
as
far as what, though?
With Jordan, as far as greatest ever. Like, I don't think he's playing for the same thing. I think he's playing for personal, you know, vindication, like, I did this. I proved all of you wrong. None of you thought I could do it. But now he's in Golden State, and the conversation is, you needed Curry. You couldn't beat Curry. You were up 3-1.
Yeah.
You needed Curry. You needed Klay. You needed Draymond. You couldn't do it without them.
Yeah.
So I truly believe, given his past, given how we know he gets personal about these things, how he takes these comments to heart, I think he's going to leave because I think he wants to prove to people now, you know what? I don't need Draymond. I don't need Steph. I don't need Clay. I'm going to do without them. And what better place to do it than coming to the East, which no longer has the guy you couldn't get over the top of, which is LeBron James.
Yeah, but then again, the East has a team, you know, in the Northeast, you know, that Drake is, you know, currently.
Hey,
you
that's
know,
right.
He calls his hometown that I think is looking very, very good. It's funny how Kawhi and Danny Leonard come to that team and they just give that team this. Danny Green. They just give this team this type of championship edge. Like I've never seen, I hate to say this, I've never seen Kyle Lowry play this hard consistently.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Kyle Lowry is playing hard each and every game. You know what I mean?
He understands what's at stake here.
Yeah.
It's not Kawhi Leonard who's the problem if they can't get out of the East. It's him. Like he had a guy in DeMar DeRozan for so long where they were two all-stars. You know, they couldn't get over LeBron. Now LeBron's gone, and now you have the best two-way player in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's time to make things happen, because if not, it's not you that fans are – it's not Kawhi that fans are going to be upset about. It's you.
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't say things are going to get easier in the East, but, I mean, the path is a little clearer and not as murky for Durant as it is being in the West. But, I mean, if Durant was to come to the East, I would love to see him go to the Knicks. Now, I'm pretty sure, you know, Heat fans are like, hey, come to us. But, I mean, you know, with all these contracts that the Heat tie their, you know, their hands in, I don't think that's even realistically possible.
Speaking of the Miami Heat, we spoke to Ira Winterman on Monday. And, of course, Goran Dragic is out. The Heat had just beaten the Magic, 5-game winning streak, longest current win streak in the NBA. I told him, Ira, it seems Justice Winslow has become the Miami Heat starting point guard. And it's not like he disagreed with me. He agreed.
Yeah.
He said, essentially he is the Miami Heat's primary ball handler. Today, Eric Spoelstra, head coach of Miami Heat, confirmed. He said it. Justice is our point guard. He's our starting point guard moving forward because Goran Dragic is out. And to me, it comes to no surprise. I mean, not only has he been playing much better, and I get this Heat team, no superstar. Some of you want to shut down Eric Spoelstra immediately. It's just 5 games. It's not a big deal. I get they struggle at the beginning of the season, but like once you start realizing, okay, this kid Justice, he could grow into this point guard position. He's only 22.
Yeah.
Like, I know the contracts, you just alluded to it. I get it. None of you are wrong about that. But there's still ways to look at this team, a guy like Justice fitting into a point guard role, Josh Richardson growing into whatever it is he's growing into, Bam Adebayo as well. There's still things to look at this team and find, you know, areas where you can appreciate what's growing and what the Miami Heat are aiming towards.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm always amazed at what Eric Spoelstra can do, because he really does a good job of doing what a head coach is supposed to do. Now, some can say, hey, Rashad, he's not winning, you know, consistently, and the Heat are always going to be, you know, lower level, you know, mid-pack of the East. And it's true, but, I mean, this is a guy that really understands his personnel. Like, he's really able to take a step back and understands, okay, I'm working with this, and how can I make this out of something? And, you know, it's just amazing to see him now, you know, moving Justice Winslow around and saying, listen, I see what you're good at now. You know what I mean? And I'm going to put you here, because I don't think a lot of coaches would have had the guts to do that. Like, you know, i.e. I bring in Nick Saban last year. Not a lot of coaches would have made that move in a national championship.
None.
You know
I'll
what
tell
mean?
You right there. None.
You know
no,
what I mean?
No other coach has done that.
But, you know, it's coaches like Nick Saban and Eric Spoelstra. And again, I'm not trying to compare Eric Spoelstra to Nick Saban, because I don't want people to call him in the text lines, you know, getting at me. But I'm just saying that, you know, when you're head coach, you know, it takes some ballsy decisions like that. And for Eric Spoelstra to say, you know what, Justice, I see your strength, and I don't care what people say, you're our point guard. You know, even though we didn't draft you to be a point guard, but right now you're our point guard.
And I don't care how much you struggled this season or in the past, or when you had your shoulder surgery, or how inconsistent your shot's been. He stuck to his guns. He saw what so many of us didn't.
Yeah.
And that is Justice Winslow progressing. And now, right now, he's taking upon the largest and hardest role he's ever taken upon.
Yeah.
And his head coach is standing by him. Rashad Butler and Solana filling in for Hawk and Crowder.
Radio.com.